right, so we're into our all-important third and final hour on this Friday. Let's get it. Feel good about it. Let's finish strong. Let's hit the weekend strong. Program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Some quick reaction to the big head, the flight deck, James Kelly. JP Emmett tweets, why did you buy a Comrex for James Kelly? You could have saved hundreds just buying aluminum foil to wrap around his head to boost his cell signal. Guy sounded great. That was money well spent. Trevor Douglas tweets, so, the big head looks like an adult, but he talks like his nuts haven't dropped. What do you mean? Hey, Trevor, why don't you just, instead of talking junk like that, look at the clock? Johnny Scabs tweets, James Kelly's voice has more crack than Caleb's ass. That's good, Scabs. Sounds about right from you, Scabs.
Crack is whack.
Crack is whack.
That's whack.
Listen to his content. And I would say don't listen for how it sounds, but listen for how it sounds. It sounds amazing.
That's right.
James Kelly with the Comrex.
There are no points for second place.
All right, I've got Mark Stein coming up next segment. It's Friday. Yesterday was Thursday. Tomorrow is Saturday. And I will stop exactly what it is I was going to do because the GOAT has called. The finest caller ever to this here radio program is the BIC. He's got the hardware to back it up. Brad in Corona. Brad, what's going on, bro?
Jim Rome, my man. How are you?
Good, dude. How about you?
I'm well. I'm actually just calling in to say congratulations to the Huntington Beach sad boy, as he's known now, Silk Bra, on a campaign kind of well run. Well, look, I guess it was just a campaign, Jim, now that I think about it. But still, Silk, sometimes it's helpful to conduct a post-op in these situations and figure out exactly where you went wrong. Let's start by throwing out the fact that you're essentially the only blue candidate in a city full of red voters, if you know what I mean. But that poor judgment aside, I think the real problem with your campaign, Silk, is that you really don't want people to know who you are. You put Eric Silkinson on the ballot, dude, and I think that hurts you. You don't want people to figure out that the same guy who's been hopping their fences to get drunk and pee in their condominium association pools for the past 30 years is now trying to horn his way into a position on the Huntington Beach City Council. Okay, you got a good name. You got to go under the radar next time. Eric Silkinson. It's the kind of name that uneducated voters like myself would just scroll down the ballot and pick you because you got a nice name, and that's actually a lot easier than me trying to figure out whether or not you're a communist. Drop the gloss. I guarantee it's going to go better. And by the way, not to get too critical, but putting Got Silk on your campaign posters probably didn't help either. A little dated, isn't it? What are we going to see next time you run? Eric Silkinson. What's up? Anyways, happy trails, brah. Why don't you call Hawk and you guys can head up to Oregon this weekend, smoke some crack, eat some shrooms, do some, you know, terrible tattoos, whatever it is you guys do. Rome, how quickly after Oregon legalized all those drugs did Hawk send you an email asking whether he could move there and telecommute? Was it 5 minutes? 10? What a crackerjack staff you have, Jim. I heard you reset the Garrett Ritz segment earlier, and to be honest, that was one reset too many. For those of you who were lucky enough to miss the actual Garrett Ritz segment, he spent 15 minutes rambling like a very boring version of Norm MacDonald, just excitedly pronouncing words that didn't really add anything to his terrible stories. Yeah. I went to see Bruno Mars there in Vegas. Vegas there. Last concert before COVID-19. And anyway, there. Sitting on some really expensive Garth Brooks tickets. And can't sell them. Mostly due to COVID-19. And I went down to Staples there. And Justin Bieber. Rit, you suck, and if those are your best stories, dude, I feel sorry for anyone who's ever had to talk to you at a party. Yeah, great, Rome. Let's let's get rid in their guest hosting. And, you know, I like the reset about all the other crappy guest hosts you've allowed to come into the studio and take over the show. Meanwhile, I'm sitting here in the bullpen with a heated towel over my rocket arm, just waiting for that phone to ring so I can come in and talk about Euros for 3 hours. Pick up the phone, Jim. Hey, that's going to do.
Holy crap, Brad. The B-I-C. Brad and Corona. As I always say about this guy, the best there ever was, the best there ever will be. I don't know, dude. As long as you've got that hot towel on your arm and you're warm, who knows? Maybe one day. Maybe one day. How'd that grab you, Rit? Rit just tried to sell to me that that was his worst call ever. Rit, his worst call ever is still a million times better than your one and only segment ever. That was a great call. What are you talking about, man? Dude, old man usually are pretty good with the self-deprecation. That guy just absolutely nailed that impression. There was nothing about that that wasn't right. Rit, you suck. And if those are your best stories, I feel badly for anybody who has ever run into you at a party. You know, like every party's got one. Rit. You know, that one party with that one guy or gal that will get up in your grill and just literally suck the life right out of you. That's what he's saying about you, Rit. But you did that when I put you behind a microphone. You got up in the grill of the microphone and you sucked the entire life out of my entire audience. It's one thing to do it individually at a party. Like, I do this sometimes. We all do this. Like, man, and you walk away from that one person like, damn. Homeboy just sucked the life right out of me. I got no will to live now. Rit, that's what you did to the audience that day. And Brad just called you on that. You got to live with that.
So my hard tickets are looking pretty puny right about now.
1-800-636-8686. Man, you never know when you'll get that phone call from that guy. Well, I did. I knew it was coming. When Silk went down as gloriously as he did, I knew it was only a matter of time before Brad got on the phone. And he did. That's when you say that's his worst call ever, that was an awesome call. That elevated the conversation. That made the jungle better. That made the world better. Not your world. Not Silkinson's world. But that helped everybody else. Alvin, go ahead. You can rock that call. Since you didn't run that call, you can rock that call. Who wants to follow that guy? Good luck with that. Parody Larry, I know you don't. If ever there was a lamb to sacrifice, it would be Parody Larry right there. You can imagine Rit just working the party, working the room. He's got that cocktail in his hand. And by cocktail, I mean hot chocolate. Rolling up on everybody. Hey, Amy, you hear the news? You hear the news? Tom Hanks is dead. He went belly up. You hear? You hear? All right, so it is Friday. All day long. If you're smart, you denimed up. You backed it in. And you're probably exhausted from the longest week ever. During the longest year ever. I feel you. I understand this. Now, I know I've always said that I'm not giving myself enough credit. And I haven't. But go ahead. Give yourselves a little bit of credit for making it this far. Nothing in 2020 has been easy. And this week has been the most challenging to date. And that's really saying something given the year that we're in. But here we are. It's Friday. It's damn near drink o'clock. And if you've got nothing in front of you except the weekend, let's go off the board for a couple of minutes. Have a little bit of fun. Why don't we start with a clip from Wheel of Fortune? You know that show. Easiest game show ever. Like if you know your ABCs, you can play and win money. It's a really easy show for really dumb people. Now, you can probably guess that if I'm going to roll something on this sports talk show, even on a Friday, from a game show, then that means that some contestant is about to make an ass hat out of themselves on national TV. And if you would assume that, you would be correct. If you have seen the Wheel of Fortune in the past decade or so, they've got this one round called the toss-up. And it's where the board starts to fill in letters automatically, and the first contestant to buzz in and correctly guess the answer wins $1,000. This particular puzzle was categorized as a proper name. there were three blank words on the board, consisting of 14 total letters. After five of the letters had populated on the screen, a woman named Alex buzzed in with her guess. If I'm talking about it, you can assume things did not go well for Alex. What you just heard was the contestant Alex going with, well, she attached the name Tom to Isaac Newton and did so on basic cable for the entire world to see and hear. She really buzzed in and guessed, quote, Tom Isaac Newton instead of Sir Isaac Newton. She went with that, Tom Isaac Newton. I mean, I'm not sure what's better, her insane guess, Pat Sajak's stoic reaction like it wasn't that jacked up or anything, or Brad chiming in quickly with the correct answer and then apologizing for it.
Alex. Tom Isaac Newton?
No. Anybody else? Brad.
Sir Isaac Newton.
Yeah, that's it.
Sorry.
Of course he apologized. He knows how badly it's going to go for Alex. He knows that Alex's life will never be the same after she buzzed in with Tom Isaac Newton. Easiest $1,000 that Brad's ever made. Maybe Brad can chip off Alex for some history lessons. Does Alex know, or does Alex think that Tom Mix-a-Lot wrote Baby Got Back? Is Alex also a big fan of six-time major winner Tom Nick Faldo? Does Alex bump Benny and the Jets in her car by the legendary Tom Elton John?
Alex.
Tom Isaac Newton?
No.
Tom Isaac Newton. Yeah, I guess in Alex's world, where the Queen of England knights someone, they all get the name Tom. I'd say better luck next time, but there is no next time on Wheel of Fortune, Al. It's a one-and-done game show. The good news is, that clip will live on forever. Tom Isaac Newton.
Tom Isaac Newton?
Oh, so close. Speaking of living on forever, guess which band is considering a possible reunion? GNR? Oasis? The White Stripes? Rage Against the Machine? REM? Yeah, you wish, because that'd be awesome. Any of those things would be awesome. Instead, it's this band. The unmistakable guttural roar of Stapp. Scott Stapp, formerly of the band Creed, who thankfully has not played a gig in nearly a decade. Except their drummer Scott Phillips told Ann Erickson yesterday that could change soon.
And I was also wondering, a few months ago, like, Creed updated their social media with a classic photo and people were going crazy and speculating about
which
a
people?
Reunion. So I'm sure
who
you remember
people,
that.
Man.
I was wondering, is there anything like that on the table at all down the road?
There's always talk every now and then of the possibility of us getting back together and doing some stuff. We're all in a good spot right now. You know, we feel like we have a good relationship with amongst the four of us. You know, there's some dialogue. So there has been some chatter. There's no specific timetable for anything or no specific plans, but it's a possibility down the road.
Yeah, because that's what 2020 needs right about now. Creed. Have we all not suffered enough already? Has this already not been the worst year ever? Bring on the murder hornets before you let these four losers murder even one more note. True story. Scientists discovered a planet this week where the oceans are made of lava, the winds are at supersonic speeds, and it rains rocks. Man, I would rather ride on Elon Musk's SpaceX rocket ship to that literal hellhole bumping the Marlins anthem on repeat then see Creed decide to go through with this reunion and play even one more song for one more person.
We want Don't strike out, base hits, double plays. Take the field.
The worst year ever. And these guys are like, you know what? Now'd be a good time for a reunion. Hey, losers, it wouldn't be. Just stop, man. Don't do it. I've got thoughts on Musk. He's at it again. But I need a break right here because I've got Mark Stein coming up. I told you it was a major roundup. Tom? Tom Isaac Newton?
Tom Isaac Newton?
Tom Isaac Newton. You shouldn't have. She went there.
Tom Isaac Newton?
Wow. Tom Rich Ackerman can't believe that.
Tom Isaac Newton?
When we come back, Mark Stein joins me. We've got some NBA to talk about. Alvy's Week That Was is coming up at the bottom of the hour. And lots more where that came from. We are not done yet. Stay with it.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Segment's brought to you by Sir Tom Newton. No, it's not. But it is brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. We're close, we're convenient, we're known for our guaranteed everyday low prices, excellent customer service from professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Joined right now by somebody who covers the NBA for the New York Times. He is the man, the mastermind behind the New York Times NBA newsletter. He is a recipient of the 2019 Kurt Gowdy Media Award. He went to Cal State Fullerton. He represents the Big West Conference, as do I, which is why I'm rocking my UC Santa Barbara fleece today for the first time ever. He's a friend of the program. He is Mark Stein. What's going on, Mark? How are you?
I'm gonna need a screen cap of that fleece.
Yeah, right? I can do that for you. I can handle that. I've never done it before. How you feeling? How are things?
All good, enjoying our seven-minute off-season, getting ready to go back to work.
That is the truth. All right, so let me ask you about that. It feels like it was just yesterday that you left the bubble in Florida. Now we're talking about the next season starting next month. I mean, how surreal is that?
Look, for some teams, it's going to be brutal. I mean, for the Lakers and the Heat, they're literally going to be back in training camp after 50 days, which is just impossible NBA math. But then you do have to take the flip side and say, you know what, there's eight teams that we haven't seen since mid-March. Those eight teams really want to play. And the overwhelming majority of the league has been off since early September. So I think for the majority, for the bulk of the teams, it's not going to be that hard. But for the Lakers, the Heat, even the Celtics and the Nuggets going all the way to the conference finals, it is going to be a very short turnaround. And the reality is there are a lot of players who aren't thrilled about having to go back this quickly. But the alternative was even worse from a financial perspective. So people are kind of sucking it up and saying, for the greater good, we got to do this.
Mark Stein joining us. All right, so you mentioned there are some guys who probably are not thrilled with this. What about LeBron? Last month, Danny Green said that if the season were to start in December, quote, I wouldn't expect LeBron there for the first month of the season, end quote. I mean, could you see LeBron playing a really small number of minutes or not at all in the first month, as he suggested? And if so, would the league be all right with that?
I think the league's going to have to accept it if a team like the Lakers says, look, LeBron's turning 36 in December. I mean, you know, he cannot be Superman forever. He has to prioritize. I mean, you know how hard he worked on his body to keep himself going. And I think if you go back and remember, he was actually worried when the pandemic struck and the season all of a sudden is halted in mid-March. You know, he did a podcast shortly after that and said, you know, I'm just rounding third base. My body is just revving up for the playoffs, and now I have to shut it down. He was concerned, and actually the four-month layoff did not slow him down like I think he initially feared, and, you know, he handled it as well as he could have hoped, and the Lakers went on to win a championship. But now to have to turn around and go back so quick, I'm sure the Lakers as a whole are going to want to ease into this thing. If it affects their playoff seeding, I think they're just going to have to live with it. But it's also, I would say, on ring night, on December 22nd, when the Lakers are getting their rings, it's hard to imagine LeBron getting his ring and not playing. It's just hard for me to picture that.
We are talking to Mark Stein. Mark, you mentioned there are some teams that have not played in quite some time. Golden State certainly falls in that category. They're going to have Klay and Steph coming back. Draymond is well rested. They'll have either the second pick in the draft or somebody they can get in a trade for that pick. So what kind of expectations do you have for Golden State this season?
I'm high on the Warriors, and I feel like a lot of people aren't so high on them. And I'm not sure why. I mean, look, Steve Kerr will be the first to tell you that they have a size deficit, and, you know, countering Anthony Davis, everyone in the West is asking themselves that question. What is our answer for Anthony Davis? LeBron and Anthony Davis are the best duo in the league, and Anthony Davis now has a championship. You can only imagine what that's going to do for his confidence as he moves forward. So certainly that's a question that the Warriors are going to answer. But look, people don't want to say this, but I think it has to be said. The league was down this year. That's not the only reason the Lakers won the championship, but it is a contributing factor. They took advantage, fair play to them. They won it all. But beyond LeBron and Anthony Davis, beyond what is the undisputed best duo in the league right now, they had a spotty supporting cast for much of the season. Rondo played great in the finals. KCP played great in the finals. But when you look at that roster, you don't say to yourself, this is a historically dominant team. I mean, they rode their two main guys and whoever was bringing it as the number three in a particular game. Is that going to be good enough to win again with a healed Stephen Curry, with a healed Klay Thompson, with a rested Draymond Green? And as you mentioned, the Warriors do have some assets to make moves, and they've got Wiggins now. And look, there are plenty of Wiggins skeptics, and he's earned the skepticism. But can they make him a player as the number – can he be the fourth best guy on a very good team? I mean, the guy has all the talent in the world. And, you know, the Warriors need a wing player. So – with this number two pick, they've got a big trade exception. If they're depending on how crazy they want to get with the luxury tax, they have the means to make their team better. So I do think the Warriors can get back in that title mix reasonably quickly.
Mark Stein, on point. I absolutely agree with you. I love Golden State this year. I really do. I think that Steve Kerr made the point, too, that they're going to be motivated. They're going to be healthy. I love these guys. I can't wait to see how that looks. Now, in the middle of all this, Mark, there's been some really significant NBA news, like Daryl Morey going to Philadelphia. How do you like that fit for him and for the organization?
I think you have to applaud the Sixers in terms of, look, they have spared no expense in overhauling their organization. They gave Doc Rivers a 5-year top dollar deal to make him their new coach. I reported earlier this week that all the buzz around the league is that Daryl Morey's getting well over $10 million to be the new lead of that front office. There are people around the league who believe it tops the 5-year $60 million deal that Phil Jackson got when he ran the Knicks. That is a lot of money for an executive. That is Jim Rome money. That is crazy money.
Get real, dude. Come on, man.
You don't see many front office guys commanding salaries like that. So certainly the question is going to be asked, you know, how will Daryl Morey and Doc Rivers and even Elton Brand, who is staying there, how will the three of them coexist? But don't forget, Philly's been trying to get Daryl Morey for years. They tried very hard in 2018. Daryl Morey ended up staying with the Rockets. You know, the probably the best news if you're a Sixer fan is if Doc can't make the Joel Embiid-Ben Simmons partnership work, you know Daryl Morey will not be afraid to trade one of the two of them. He will do it. He will make that trade. Before he got there, I'm not so sure that the Sixers had the gumption to break those two up if necessary. Daryl Morey will do it if he has to.
All right, so you just jumped right onto a point that I was going to ask you about, and you did lay that out, at least hypothetically. I mean, if you had to guess, Mark, how do you think that will play out? Like, he's not going to be afraid to trade one of those guys if he thinks that it's not going to work out. Can it still work out? How do you see that playing out?
I mean, there's been very little evidence to suggest that that's a good fit. And, you know, they're cute. I mean, Daryl Morey made the point earlier this week when he did his intro to Philly discussion. I mean, these guys are basically both in the 25 age range, and they're both all-star players, and you don't run away from that because it's so hard to get those guys. But I don't know if it can work. Is Doc the right coach to make it work? You know, we'll see. I'm a huge Embiid fan. He needs to get in better shape. There's no question. He needs to consistently stay in better shape. But the guy has all the ability in the world, and it's better to start with those two and try to figure it out than not have them. But I can't sit here with confidence and say I think they're magically going to be a 60-win team now.
I mean, it makes me wonder, Mark, if you have to get rid of one of them and Morey's the guy making the decision. I agree with you. I love Joel, but I'm not making the decision. Morey is. Wouldn't he get rid of Joel before Ben?
I don't know. I'm not. I think Simmons is probably easier to trade. And look, this is not a game that is built around centers anymore. This is a game built around ball-dominant guards and wing players who can guard a lot of positions. But because Ben doesn't shoot the three, that clearly limits his effectiveness as an offensive player. He's not the dominant player he could be because of that weakness. And when you have a big as good as Embiid, again, it's such a rarity anymore beyond your Embiids and your Jokic's. I would think he trades Simmons first, but that's me, trying to jump into his head. We really don't know yet.
Well, I will say this. You are the Kurt Gowdy Media Award recipient, so that carries a lot of weight. Maybe you are right. Really quickly, the Rockets have had an offseason, which includes losing their head coach and their GM. So where are they right now as an organization, and exactly what does that mean for James Harden?
Yeah, a lot of people are wondering. A lot of people are wondering his contentment level, because basically Daryl Morey and Mike D'Antoni just abruptly left the situation, and the Rockets are starting all the way over. They're adamant they're not going to trade him. I believe that. I think they want to give it one more go and see how far they can go, but the reality is they have very little flexibility to improve that team around him. If you keep James Harden, you're a 50-win team pretty much no matter what you put around him. So I'm sure Tillman Fertitta does not want to just trade him and really start over. But are the Rockets as currently constituted championship material? No. Can they make off-season moves that will get them to that level? It's hard to see that. They just have such limited assets to make moves. So I'm sure they're gonna start with Harden, see what kind of connection he makes with Steven Silas, the new coach. But people are gonna be looking at that all season long and asking and wondering how long do the Rockets stick with Harden? How long does Harden want to stay? Will he reach a point where he kind of wants to initiate a move? We're not there yet, but it's something people are monitoring.
He covers the NBA expertly for the New York Times. He is the man behind the New York Times NBA newsletter. He won that Kurt Gowdy Media Award. He did go to Cal State Fullerton. He is, in fact, a Big West Conference legend and a very good friend of the program. Nice job, Mark Stein. Good to have you back, Mark. Thank you very much.
Always a pleasure.
Me too, man. Well done. Really well done. Good to talk some NBA. I mean, after all, the offseason is nearly over already. Boy, if you're LeBron and you know they're firing up the actual season before the end of the year, which means training camp is starting before then, You can't be fired up about that. There's no way he's going to want to do that. When we return, the last segment of the day, the last segment of the week, and I've still got a lot to get done. I've got an ATP. I have Alvy's WTW. Huge call, perhaps. And if you want to get in here and take your best shot, you go right ahead. 1-800-636-8686. The BIC has already come in. Who knows who will call on this Friday? Phone lines are open. ATP, ask the pimp. You see what I did there? I'm sure O'Reilly Auto Parts is very happy that I renamed their segment the Ask the Pimp segment. Thanks, Alvy. You want to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Bella B has got a question for the pimp. She always does. Hi, Jim. Have you ever talked your way out of a speeding ticket? Thanks. Bella B in Calgary. I don't mess with stuff like that at all, but I have gotten out of a couple. And I think the way, one for sure, or for certain, I got out of it because I don't mess with stuff like that. Like, years ago, Jano and I were in this new car that I bought. Like, I spent my entire life wanting this one car, busting my ass for this one car. And when I finally made enough money to get that one car, I got the convertible version of that car. And Jano and I lived in America's finest city at that point, San Diego. We roll out on a Saturday. I hit this on-ramp to the freeway. Man, I punched that bitch. Man, I was having the best day of my life until I saw the lights come on behind me. And I couldn't even reach into my glove compartment fast enough to get my license and registration because I was so out of line. Like, I knew I had no shot. I was apologizing before this guy got halfway to my car. And he's looking me up and down. He asked me a few questions. And then he looks at me and he says, "You know what? Have a nice day. Don't do that again." "Yes, sir." And this was at a time especially when I was coming up on the Nifty 650 in San Diego. And I was always concerned, like, Is this persona going to work in my favor or against? And I never knew. That day it worked for me. I have no idea why that guy let me go. But he did. And maybe in part because I didn't try and talk my way out of it. See, now the one thing I had in the back of my mind, locked and loaded, was the diarrhea card.
Diarrhea is the great equalizer.
This.
Think about it. Diarrhea doesn't care who the hell you are.
It does not.
It's coming.
It is.
He doesn't care who you are or what you do or where you are.
I almost did that. I thought about that, but I didn't look like I had diarrhea. And I was so out of line. He let me go, though. He did let me go, Bella. So, no, I did not try and talk my way out of it, but I did get out of it. Let's go to Alvy's iconic WTW. I don't do politics on this show, period. But this may be the most polarizing election ever. Frankly, you either hate the guy running or you love him. So it is, in fact, Election Eve, and this guy is running.
Come on.
Eric Silkinson. Yeah. Welcome to the jungle. And I hope your week's off to a good start. Hope you're having a good life. Charger fans, this is going to hurt me way more than it hurts you. It just will. Because that was some kind of hideous loss yesterday.
Yes! Catch! Touchdown, Denver!
How does that happen? Not the touchdown. I mean the entire thing. How do you blow a 21-point lead in the final 22 minutes of that game? It's mind-blowing. No, he hit heights that even the Falcons could never dream of.
Holy mackerel!
And there's a full-on fight on the field here.
He's going to get the right game. This is
Oh, my God.
I could not be happier that he did. I never thought a dude punching a dude wearing a helmet would make my life better.
Oh, he pulls his mouthpiece out.
Michael Lombardi is joining us.
If I were the GM of the Bears, I would call him into my office and I would say, "Look, we're going to waive you, but we're also going to help you get some anger management because you've got some issues." That just doesn't happen. He shouldn't get suspended. He should get released.
Four
touchdowns today for Dalvin Cook.
The lone man entree was pigskin leather, and he rammed it down Green Bay's defense and all their fans' throats. You like that?
We were talking to Pete Thamel.
Jim Harbaugh's a very strange guy.
Yeah, he is. Gobble, 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 turkey.
He is bizarre. He's a difficult guy to work for. I mean, you remember the stories from San Francisco when he left. That was one of the most toxic NFL exits in the history of the league.
We have a fake coming up. Tommy Townsend, and there's the fake like you call.
It's really amazing when the announcer can call out a fake from the booth, but none of the Jets coaches could tell that it was coming.
Doing this job to win, but to go out there and not get my face stomped in.
My man's a wizard.
And we're getting into like Eli and Joe Flacco territory.
Hey!
I could freaking blow this guy's doors off. It offends me.
Big transition for him moving across the state and really
what an adjustment that must be. Does he have to get a new passport? Does he have to learn a new language? Does he need to establish citizenship?
Just trying to be a great teammate.
What an adjustment that dude's gonna have to make moving from Miami to Tampa.
Help someone out.
And of course, the bitch blocked me. Come on, Broadway Vic. Why the change of heart on the quote, woke NFL? Way to stick to your guns, you friggin' hypocrite.
We're talking to T.J. Edwards. What is northern Wisconsin like, and how great is lake life?
It's hard to appreciate unless you do it. You know, no cell service, anything like that, and you're out in the water all day and, you know, having a couple beverages and things like that and just enjoying the company. It's a great time.
I mean, you charged out on the field pretty hard.
I was trying to get our players
an
off the
adult
field, you know?
Dressed up as a Star Wars character. Lying out his Vader mask. Here's the problem with telling people that you were trying to get your players off the field.
I was trying to get our players off the field.
There are TV cameras everywhere. Coach them up, Darth.
You know, Albie and I are like super tight bros, right, Albie? Bruh.
Not as tight as you thought. Nothing is worse than being told you have to compete against Garrett Gilbert and Cooper Rush. Wrong again.
Wrong, frankly, more than he can handle.
Yogi, I want to ask you about something. I want to step away from football for a moment.
She was changing her sheets. She said, you know why I love sheets so much? She goes, because when I was a kid, I slept on newspaper. She said, Yogi, when you're at somebody else's home, you had nothing. You see the sheets that they have. Recognize they probably didn't have any of that. And somebody had to really go to work just for the simple thought of, hey, I want to put sheets on a bed.
Jordan Wilkins joining us. Speaking of Coach Rathman, man, my man was a beast. What's he like to play for?
A real problem.
That's great.
He's great to play for.
And Chris Jr., just keep on shoveling that cheese and lard, and maybe you can get up the steps on your mama's house.
Jason, Lock and Four-Eyed.
It's going to be a very strange week of practice. Sorry about that.
It's copper, though, right?
That's copper.
Maybe even your guy, Naj Davenport. Am I right, clones? You'd be all over that, wouldn't you, clones? Rins. Mike Daniels. Candy corn is great, right?
Candy corn. is the best thing that God has blessed us on this earth with. I'm glad to be talking to another corner.
Anton, want a fire extinguisher? Get your ass up. House on fire. Anton, what? He is Roman Harper.
My wife has had some people putting up some Christmas tree lights outside, which is way too early.
All right, so you've already weird rust, Russ, and now you're strange Zeking Zeke?
Well, is anybody going to argue that?
I don't know, he's a little strange.
Bruno Mars there in Vegas. Vegas. Last concert before COVID-19. And anyway, there's Garth. Brooke,
I'm going to need a screen cap of that, please.
Oh, my goodness.
Like an absolute fat ass.
Jerk!
What is he thinking?
Double Lombardi.
Warm and fuzzy all over.
I'm looking forward to the next time. Trying to live a lot of your life backwards. Always a pleasure to be on.
So shout out my mom.
Touchdown!
Are you kidding me?
I'd say so.
I've lost some respect for you today. And
where's Garrett?
Dude, 9,000 votes, bro.
What's that?
Good night now!
Alvin, was that... in terms of running length, what it normally is, that felt short. I did not want that to end. Can you play that back at half speed so it's longer? That was really good. The best... The best 5.5 minutes of the week. That was extraordinary. For all the ones who get it done, there's Grainger offering supplies and solutions for every industry to help keep your facility safe and your people even safer. Call clickgrainger.com/safety or just stop on by. We do, in fact, have a huge call today, don't we?
Smoke some crack, eat some shrooms, do some, you know, terrible tattoos, whatever it is you guys do.
Rome, how quickly after Oregon legalized all those drugs did Hawk send you an email asking whether he could move there and telecommute? Was it 5 minutes? 10? What a crackerjack staff you have, Jim. I heard you reset the Garrett Ritz segment earlier, and to be honest, that was one reset too many. For those of you who were lucky enough to miss the actual Garrett Ritz segment, he spent 15 minutes rambling like a very boring version of Norm MacDonald, just excitedly pronouncing words that didn't really add anything to his terrible stories.
Yeah. I went to see Bruno Mars there in Vegas. Vegas. Last concert before COVID-19. And anyway, sitting on some really expensive Garth Brooks tickets. And can't sell them. Mostly due to COVID-19. And I went down to Staples there. And Justin Bieber.
Rit, you suck. And if those are your best stories, dude, I feel sorry for anyone who's ever had to talk to you at a party.
You get a
Man, that is really funny. Really funny, Garrett. Sorry about that. No, I'm not. That's really funny. The B.I.C., Brad and Corona, my thanks to him. Roman Harper crushed his segment. Dean Marlowe was great. Mark Stein, too. Really good interview day. My thanks to the XR4TI. My thanks to you clones. Everybody have a great, great weekend, and I will see you right back here on Monday. We're done.